WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. It is a breaking emergency pod. As we're recording this, it's Sunday, March 22nd, just before 5 p.m. And earlier today, ESPN's Pete Thamel tweeted out that Syracuse is expected to finalizing a deal with former player, former assistant coach, and current Siena head coach, Jerry McNamara. Something that we saw coming. I think after that Duke game became pretty clear. Question was when and how long and if Syracuse would actually pull the trigger. But seemingly it's all but official that Jerry McNamara will be the next head coach of Syracuse men's basketball.
Yes, and obviously a move that was like we had talked about it for the last couple of weeks. After Autry was after they moved on from Autry, we kind of had a moment where there were some other guys outside of GMAC, and GMAC was probably the favorite for the majority of the search, but there was, you know, Brian Hodgson was in the mix for a little bit. You had Nate Murray, you had Luke Murray, and you had a couple other guys that were just kind of on the bubble. But I think throughout the majority of the search, Jerry McNamara's name was the one at the top. And you certainly can't disservice yourself. You really don't lower your price when you take on the top seed in the NCAA tournament and you lead by 11 at halftime as a 16 seed. First 16 seed to ever do that. And I think you could see it right there that it was going to kind of come into fruition with McNamara putting on a statement game to win the MAAC championship, and then eventually getting the bid of the tournament and putting up a statement against the top-seeded Blue Devils. So I think once you kind of saw those two things happen, it was basically just what day and what time is this going to be announced. And they picked today to well, the news broke that they were working on finalizing a deal. So obviously nothing official yet. You would expect that to be made official over the next few hours or the next day or so. And, you know, Griffin, we talked about it last week. Adam Weitzman, he's big in the Siena pockets right now, supporting Coach McNamara. I'm curious your thoughts. I think this is a step in the right direction in getting Weitzman's name back inside the orange circle.
Yeah, that was something that we definitely talked about last week. And, you know, what is he going to do? What makes sense? What would be, most importantly, beneficial for the program? He did tweet today. 4:16, he tweeted out, "Sometimes when you stay the course and ignore the noise, things turn out just the way you wished," with a bunch of dot, dot, dots. So, what does that mean? No idea. It is Adam Weitzman that we're dealing with. We're not always going to necessarily get a clear, concise message. But based on what that wrote, it may seem like his involvement in the basketball program is going to come back. Now, what does that mean in itself? Who knows? But he was helping Jerry McNamara with Gavin Dotti, who hopefully I think a lot of fans want to see him in a Syracuse jersey after what he did against Duke and what he did all season for Siena. It's promising. And you know, we extended an invite out to Adam Weitzman to come on the pod, and you know, maybe in the coming days or weeks, months, maybe we will figure out a time. But the thing is, Syracuse, as part of this deal, it was reported that they would get into the top third of the ACC spending wise in NIL, top
Yes.
six of 18.
Yes.
And that is important. Can Syracuse get to that level where they're at 10 to 12? I think 10 would be okay. I think 12 would be good and great. Money wise for this next year's roster, is there something else that you're interested
Well,
about?
according to a report I saw earlier today, the 2025, 2024, 2025 ACC NIL leaderboard, you have UNC, Duke, and Louisville all estimated around 10 million. And then you had Virginia and Miami around 8 million. And that was your top five last year. And I know there's some reports that said Syracuse was about at 8 million this year, just below 8 million, I believe. And that put them in the 7 to 9 range. So I think obviously with a little more spending this year, I think it's going to need to be over 10 million to get them in the top six now. And I think that's completely doable. And I think that should be the expectation. Brian Blair has talked about it in his introductory press conference that they want to be a top third, like he said in his clause, apparently, that they're going to need to spend $10 to $12 million on a basketball roster if they want to be competitive. And we mentioned it last week. There has to be some big changes. There has to be a lot more money poured out into this team if they want to be competitive. Otherwise, they're simply going to fall behind in the ACC. And I think that being mentioned that they need to be in the top third in his contract is a major step in the right direction and getting out in front of that. And I think that is a very positive sign to see early on in his tenure.
Definitely. And that's something you need to have happen. Like, Syracuse needs to be in that top third for NIL, because that's where Syracuse should always be in the standings. And it's not necessarily a one-for-one level, money to standings and success, but it's pretty close. And if you want to succeed, you're going to have to spend. Sometimes if you spend, you don't always succeed. But in order to win, money has to be flowing in. Another thing that's interesting is, you mentioned this not official. I would expect an official statement Monday morning. Sometimes Syracuse likes to roll these things out early in the week, get the press conference done on Tuesday. If I had to guess, that would be my guess.
Yep.
An official announcement Monday, press conference in the Dome on Tuesday. Now, the thing is, Syracuse doesn't have any assistant coaches right now. They don't have a general manager right now. Jerry McNamara and Brian Blair probably combined would go find a general manager. I think that is a key position. Syracuse moved on from Alex Klein. The question is, who do you think Jerry will go to for those assistant coaching spots? General manager's harder to predict just because they're a little more behind the scenes, not necessarily going to be former players. They might be. Some schools have done it where it's kind of a big figure like Carmelo Anthony. And then they have more of a director of basketball operations that's doing the what Alex Klein did last season, but the general manager is a bigger face like Carmelo or Steph Curry, other guys around the NBA that are currently in those roles as well. And then, is Syracuse going to bring guys over from Siena? Is Jerry going to do that? Or maybe you look to former Syracuse players that are now coaching as well, guys like Tyus Battle and other names that are in the basketball landscape.
Yeah, and I think that was something I was thinking about, right? With McNamara coming back, you don't get that complete rework of the program, and maybe that's okay. You know, I was kind of against it at the start, but I think McNamara proved to everyone that was against him that he's a damn good coach. I mean, you saw it the other day when he plays five players the entire game against the number one seed in March Madness and puts together a game plan that had the Blue Devils on edge up until the last 2-3 minutes of the game. Like, they were in that game for 37 minutes. And I think if you see that he can put up a fight against Duke with that roster, I think when you give him the resources and all the money at his disposal to go build a roster, I think you have to be feeling pretty good about his possibility of turning this program around. I do think it'll be interesting to see how he builds this roster, right? Does he go and pick up Syracuse teammates or other Syracuse players that are now coaching? You know, does anyone else kind of get a foot in the door? Does Carmelo Anthony have any role on this team? You brought it up right there. There was talks about him potentially having a significant portion of money allocated to whoever the next head coach was, and money for them to build that roster. And so I think that it's still at the early stage, obviously. But I mean, you would hope that if they're not going to completely rework the program and go completely outside of the program, if they're going to stay within the program, you would expect them to expend to the fullest extent all of the resources, all of the people, all of the money that they have currently inside of the program, and kind of branch out from there. So that would be my expectation. I would think Carmelo Anthony does have some sort of role, whether it's general manager, whether it's, you know, one of the outside associates that kind of helps funnel players in. Maybe he has a little bit of, you know, coaching aspect of it. Maybe he's kind of the guy that gets recruits out here. You know, there's a lot that's still to be determined, but I would expect anyone that is currently inside that building that is coming to the games and still supporting the team and has been part of this, you know, organization over the past few years, I would expect them to be the ones that lead that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been interesting as well. The Syracuse fan base has been split on this decision
Yes,
over the
it's
course,
very divisive.
and it's
Yes.
been going in ebbs and flows. Before the Duke game, there was a lot of go outside the program. That Duke game kind of opened the eyes up of fans of, okay, yeah, we know who GMAC is. Great player, was an assistant coach that led Syracuse in recruiting, got a lot of guys. The players always seem to love him. But we don't know really how well he can coach. Duke game showed that GMAC can coach with inferior talent against my March Madness champion pick. Josh, I don't think we've talked about this. Who's yours?
I have Michigan. I think
Okay, you
they're
have
the
Michigan.
hardest team to match up against by far.
Okay, sure. Michigan. Aren't you a Michigan fan?
I'm a Michigan State fan.
Oh, so you picked the rival.
Yes, I just believe that Michigan has the toughest team to match up against when you have a 7-foot-3 center and two of the best forwards in the country. Like, it's just really tough in my eyes to actually have five people that are comparable to what Michigan presents as an offense.
All right, respect that. You know, picking, I have a lot of respect for you after that pick. Now back to the topic at hand. Syracuse fans were decisive. Like they were didn't really know they well decisive means they didn't know. They did not want him. Now they do. And then even after the hires, you saw some fans flip-flop and be like, okay, I don't know if this is the right pick, even after they were showing support 2, 3 days ago. The one thing that I have seen on Twitter is a lot of people in the media landscape, in Syracuse former players, whether that's Elijah Hughes, Cole Swider, Buddy Boeheim, Joe Girard, all tweeted in support of Jerry McNamara. Bruce Pearl tweeted his support of Jerry McNamara. And it's
I think
interesting.
Diebendorf was also early. I think
Yep.
he was, as soon as the Siena game had ended, or maybe even in the middle of the Siena game, was tweeting in favor of hiring Jerry McNamara.
And so to keep those guys happy is important. Now, not a lot of those guys are the ones that could be the bigger CUSE alums showing their support and giving NIL money, as those guys have just started their NBA careers, or Diebendorf now in the broadcasting world as well. But it's important to have the Syracuse basketball culture and the fan base and also the alumni showing their support. The biggest question is still the money. And if Syracuse can figure that out, I don't see a reason why. GMAC showed that he can coach. You got to get the fans back in it, though. If as long as the money is there, Syracuse should be able to compete under Jerry McNamara.
Yes, I think that should absolutely be the expectation. And I think when you have a starving fan base that's been out of March Madness now for 5 seasons in a row, I think it's important that I said it from the very beginning. I said you don't want to lose the fan base. This decision is a big one. And before the Siena Duke game, I think a lot of fans would have turned around. They would have turned the other way if the program decided to go in that way. And I think once they saw that performance and they saw that this guy is a much more capable coach than Adrian Autry, I think the fans turned the corner. And I think I wouldn't say everyone is pleased with the decision to stay with a name that is in the Syracuse circle already, but I think they're happier than they would have been if they would have gone completely off the radar, hired someone that no one expected. I mean, Brian Blair wasn't on any of the message boards, anything you were seeing. Anyone was talking about Brian Blair. That was one of the last names you would have expected to come up for that. Now, certainly he's done great things and he's very deserving of the job, but it just wasn't a name that people were talking about. And so I think if the fan base saw that Syracuse went and hired someone that wasn't on anyone's radar, I think that could have caused a little bit of chaos after the McNamara game. So I think with where things stand right now, I think the fan base has to be pretty excited. And I think they should be pretty, you want to have lower expectations for a guy who's coming into the first year of his job. But I mean, you look at the turnaround he did at Siena, taking them from 4 wins to the NCAA tournament in just 2 seasons. I think you should be feeling pretty good about the future of this program.
Definitely. At the end of the day, all these Syracuse fans care about is winning. So
Yes.
if Jerry McNamara, who's
He probably gives you
expected,
the best chance.
he might. He
He
certainly
might. He very
might.
well might.
And I guess we'll only find out when November hits, when December hits, and those games start to matter. And if Syracuse can roll wins off on their schedule, get fans to pack the dome, I think there's a good chance this season that you could see 30,000 fans at a game in the dome. And that's something that Syracuse basketball has lacked the past couple of years under Adrian Autry. The most important thing that this fan base cares about is winning. As long as Syracuse can deliver that, that is the most important thing. That is all these fans will care about. The head coaching decision won't matter in 2 years if this team makes it back to the NCAA tournament. As long as this team wins, the fans will be happy. And the head coach decision will probably be correct. And the
Yes.
fans will accept it. Jerry McNamara, I wouldn't say would be the coach for life, but as I put it earlier, winning with Jerry McNamara would mean more than winning with some random coach that has no ties to
Yeah.
Syracuse.
And I think one more thing that the fans should be thinking about. I think they should be thinking positively about the fact that they're probably going to see Kyan Anthony in the dome next year. I think this hire should theoretically lock in Kyan Anthony returning. And you would hope he tries his best to return Sadiq White, because I think when you have such a star-studded class come in, things fizzle out a little bit in year one. Maybe they can reset, refocus. And hopefully Jerry McNamara can and maybe Carmelo can be in on this as well. You would like to think that they are vital in they want to return these two players. And the rest of the roster, obviously, I mean, almost no connection to Syracuse outside of Kyan Anthony on this actual roster. So really tough to tell what the rest of the team is thinking about this. And you don't know how much Jerry's going to be dipping into his Siena pool of players that he coached last season, so you don't know what that looks like. But you would want priority number one to be Kyan and Sadiq returning next season.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not even the fact that those are going to be your star players. It's the fact that those are big names in Syracuse. They're high-level recruits, and they have shown flashes of playing very, very good basketball. I think the thing with Kyan is people have said in the basketball world, could put on some weight. That way you can get better at defense. But the offensive prowess is there.
Yeah.
Sadiq, athletic, can defend, block shots, and has a lot of potential. I think the interesting point, if Syracuse can retain Nate Kings, if he can
Yeah, if
apply
he
for
gets that
that
waiver,
another,
oh,
yes,
that would
get
be
that
sweet.
waiver, it would be so big. Nate Kings was so good. He could shoot the
That was my
three.
guy. I picked him at the
That
start of the year.
that's
That's
your
my
guy
guy.
defensively. He was really, really good for Syracuse as well. And then the other interesting point is, do you try to retain Nate George? He's a junior, 1 year of eligibility left.
I'm gonna say it. I think they should. I think there's some stuff that needs to be worked on there, obviously. But I mean, Griffin, he was brought in as one of the best point guards in the country, the leading assist man in the ACC. There's not a lot of guys that can spread the ball around as well as he can. Now, did he have his struggles this year? Did he have a little bit of a struggle shooting the basketball? Yeah, he did. I mean, the entire team went through a pretty rough season. So I think if you have the new coaching staff and they work with him, I don't see a reason why Nate George shouldn't be back for Syracuse next year.
I agree. I think it's someone that, unless you can get someone better, which, hey,
Yeah.
Syracuse expanding its NIL pool, maybe they can. And maybe they should. Gavin Dotty, I think, is the guy that Syracuse fans will really, really love. GMAC said he's almost as a fierce competitor as him. He compared him to him. They're both psychos, is the word. And, I love a psycho on the basketball court. So that will be interesting. Again, any last thoughts before we wrap things up? It'll be a shortened emergency podcast. Just want to get this out to you guys as quickly as possible.
Oh, I'm certainly I've changed my tune, obviously. I wasn't anti-GMAC. I just thought Hodgson was a little bit of a better fit. Obviously, don't know the full extent of what happened there with that dispute or whatever
I don't
broke
think we'll
through.
ever know.
I don't think we'll know it whether it was Syracuse or it was Hodgson's camp or whatever it was, or maybe it was just being used as leverage to land him. I mean, he got the Providence job today, so he did end up leaving USF. It wasn't holding out to stay with his team. But I think all in all, this is a good hire, and this is a step in the right direction for a program that is starving and needs a massive change.
Again, ESPN is reporting that Syracuse men's basketball set to hire head coach Jerry McNamara. Wow. I mean, just a wild thing happened during the lacrosse game. Don't worry, we'll have another podcast this week. We'll break down that lacrosse game, women's basketball going on a March
What a
Madness
win.
run. Big win over Iowa State. Women's lacrosse is on a 7-game win streak. Crazy things are happening on the Hill every single day, it seems like, and we have you covered here on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Make sure to tune in to our episodes, previous episodes, AJ's final one on the pod. First pod without AJ feels kind of
So
weird.
sad.
So sad. You can listen to that one wherever you get your podcasts or on WAER.org. Another episode midweek. Hopefully, we'll have Duke head coach John Donowski preview that game on Saturday. But for now, Griffin and Josh, we'll see you next time.